This is Electric Sisterhood 321. Three people enter the shower, two people bathe.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are joined this week by a very special guest. It hasn't been in the hood for a while, but we're so glad to have him back. Mayor Young.
Fantastic Forum. What's going on, people? What up, what up, what up?
All games in the house.
Fantastic in the easy for cheesy, my kneesy.
Oh, yeah. I remember Snoop. Back when he was Snoop Dogg and not Snoop Lion. I miss that him, motherfucker.
Look, a little liquor for good Snoop.
I mean, all I'm saying is, he done smoked too much weed. Like, he has jumped the shark on the weed smoking. I didn't think that there was a line, but now I'm starting to think, maybe we shouldn't legalize marijuana, because if you could smoke that much, maybe it's not such a good thing. Just saying. I'm reconsidering. You know, you got Snoop going off the deep end. Poor Cat Williams is just smacking bitches because he can.
Dude,
well, Cat Williams could smack bitches. We just choose not to smack bitches.
Exactly. Because we don't smoke a pound and a half of weed a day.
No, sometimes I would like to smack somebody.
I mean, here's the thing. Sometimes people need to be smacked.
Like, when we become super ultra famous with lots of money, I'm going to hire someone to let me slap them. Only when I need to slap somebody, which means they won't get slapped a lot. But when they
just
get slapped,
they'll sign
feel
off
really bad
on the
like
contract.
They've done something ultimately wrong.
Just make sure that they sign off on the contract so you don't end up like Naomi Campbell's assistant who gets smacked in the face with a cell phone and now owns half her shit.
This is the special phone. When this phone goes off, you know I need to slap you. You can't ask me why. But I have to hit you.
Well,
it would be in the contract. They have great benefits.
Exactly.
And dental. You know, like, I'll take care of you, but I'm going to smack you.
I mean, you got to cover the dental, and you really also need to cover reconstructive surgery. Just in case,
I would never go that bad, yo.
Well, here's the thing. If you're hitting the same cheek all the time, it's going to get puffy.
No, it's going to be varied. Like,
but if you're in a rage, you may not. This is what I'm saying. And your backhand, you forget, is strong. So all I'm saying is you might need to cover...
Yeah, that's right. Turn to the left, please.
You might need to cover... I'm not saying, like, full-on reconstructive. I'm just saying they might need, you know, a facelift because they get drooped down. You smack the shit out of them.
Well,
so
she'll
much.
Be so depressed because I have to hit her all the time.
This is what I'm saying. So you probably should cover it. Like, you should put in the contract at least one facelift every other year as part of the health benefit.
And if she makes it to 5 years of letting me do this, I'll send her to Fiji. Like,
if she makes it to 5 years, I feel like you should buy a car and or... Not necessarily Fiji, because Fiji's, like, an expensive trip. I mean, you've only been slapping
the
face.
Well, if I got that kind of money, ain't gonna be no...
I know. Oh, but you're gonna want to go to Fiji, and then you don't.
No, I won't.
Yeah, you
I don't.
Will.
No, I
yeah,
don't
you
want
will.
To
you
Fiji.
Probably take. A
I'll send other people to
Let
Fiji
Let me point
for
out
me.
That Panda automatically went to the fact that this is a girl that she's slapping. Like,
oh yeah, I mean,
like, dang, like the fact that it could be a dude didn't even enter her mind.
No. The object of her rage is going to be probably a skinny chick.
Really? Body doesn't matter.
See, I want to. If I'm going to have somebody to be my whipping bitch,
I have to interview her too because I want to have a rage. She has to make me angry about something.
This is what I'm saying. So I'm like, if you have somebody that looks like you, you're not going to be apt to slap them.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to look for someone who looks just like me because that could just be psychologically analyzed to me hating myself. And that's not what
this is about. Oh, because having a whipping bitch isn't going to be psychologically analyzed?
Well, I mean, I guess it could be, but I ain't thinking about that.
That's funny. I don't understand what the point of being famous is if you can't just haul off and slap people that when
well,
you want
can,
to.
But then you're on, you know, America, Good Morning America, explaining why you got anger problems.
Chris Brown. But anyway, here's the thing. You can haul off and knock people in the face. You just have to deal with the repercussions.
I'm all about the care and the psychological damage that I might be doing to
you
said
need
girl
to have
in my mind,
a crisis publicist already with the statements. You need to have your anger management classes lined up.
Not even that, but put a gag order on that bitch. Look, I'm paying you a lot of money to let me hit you.
Exactly. You need to have a slap-a-bitch fund, which is kind of like a trust fund, separate from your regular spending money.
At some point, she's like, this isn't about anger, is it, Panda?
It's not. It's really not. It's just about flexing power.
No one, Panda,
should have all this power.
It is a power play, and I completely and utterly admit that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not
that's
about anger.
It's not about this one anger. Doesn't really I might get give angered. Her a big hug after I've slapped her, but like, thank you very much.
Exactly.
It's not about hate.
This one doesn't really get angry.
It's about love, but in a very weird, twisted sense of it.
She's like, I understand I'm here for slapping, but why do I have to take my shirt off? I don't understand what that's
about.
Oh,
no, no.
That's
no.
just no. Well, value
that's,
added.
That's not even, I'm not even thinking like that. But anyway,
yet.
That was a great pan tangent brought to you by ESH.
Yes. So let's talk about video games and whatnot. Although that's
not
a bitch slap.
Slapping girls.
Wait, but that's a bitch slap of a different kind.
Yeah.
Depending upon the game that you're playing. See, I'm trying to make a segue.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be professional
yes,
about
that's,
this.
And that's a good one.
That's, so,
I appreciate that.
Because, I mean, the holiday is literally tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And what better way to celebrate the holiday than talking about all the different games that you could get or should be requesting or hope that is underneath your tree, menorah,
Kwanzaa menorah,
thingy,
whatever that's
festivus
called.
What for the rest of us.
It, exactly.
Yep, the Festivus feats
you know,
pole.
Feats of strength. You know, you should be performing those now. Airing of grievances.
I did a kick, one of those high front kicks, and
yeah.
it came up to like my eye level
nice.
Without me stumbling. That
nice.
Was my feat of strength.
Nice. I actually was carrying more than 6 bags of groceries, heavy groceries at once.
Hey, yo.
And that was like my, it was cold as shit outside, so
oh,
I was trying to get
why.
In the house really quickly. But I was like, you know, a little mini She-Hulk because I was like, Rawr! Hulk,
you
run!
Man.
You know, so that was my
man,
feat
high
of
five.
Strength. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I just really. I just have the airing of grievances, which I feel is appropriate for Christmas Day morning. So
see, I don't, but I watched Hell Girl, and that's
ooh,
all about, you know, grievances
yeah.
and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm good.
Yeah. So, let's talk about the holiday stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with you, Mary Young, because I know that you've been a busy man. I was, you know, trying to keep up with all the stuff that
you
came up to. And
like
I can't.
His Twitter's like, bling, bling, like.
My Facebook is like, I'm over here. I'm doing this. Oh,
hey,
new
guess
podcast.
What? I'm
what
here
up?
Now. And I'm like, dude, where the fuck are all
like,
these places?
How
I can get there
the
that fast?
Shit do you move around that fast? I mean, I have a car and I can't move that fast.
You know, teleportation is handy.
Ah, so you
just
perfected
that
it.
It's like, you know, if I can figure out how to make it go longer, I'll come visit you guys.
Nice.
Dude.
Nice. You know,
make it so.
Distance
make
is
it
a
so.
Bitch.
It is. It's unfortunate. Like, sometimes I just wish, like, all of the podcast peeps lived in one giant commune just to see what that would be like, you know? It's like, I'm sure that's a reality show somewhere.
Here,
you know,
here,
just set
here's
cameras
the thing.
Up.
Oh,
you
my
know,
God.
Hef's
how
got
cool
a grotto.
Would that be?
Why don't we have a podcast compound?
Like, it should be like a podcast Burning Man outside... But not out in the middle of nowhere where no one
yeah,
can
don't
shower.
Do the, yeah, no, no. There needs to be running water.
There needs to be an electricity.
There needs to be no showering.
There needs to be...
There might not be showering, but we want to have the strong option.
No. There needs to be showering.
I'm just saying.
I don't...
I'm just saying that you put people in a room that has a room with a shower in it, maybe one person, like, say 4 people go in a room, only 2 of them. And that's if they're really good and they're both female, will shower. The other 2 might go, I should shower. And they think that that's enough to constitute their smell.
You should
and they
lose,
go about their lives.
You should lose Wi-Fi capabilities for every day
that
you go without showering.
Oh my God, we'd be such a clean nation.
Okay, I'm instituting that. You lose bandwidth. Every day you go without showering.
See, and then we would be like the cleanest people, and like Times Magazine would want to talk to us, be like, why are you so clean? It's like, I need my
because
family.
Gamers are not nasty.
Not
we
all
wouldn't
of them,
we wouldn't put out the Wi-Fi rule.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, that would have to
like
be rule number 1 of the compound.
To the commune. I'm going to write
yeah.
that down.
Yeah, you should put that in the
one
charter.
One very disgruntled wild guy out there that's like trying to play on dial-up still. Like, I'm not going to shower, no.
No.
And so he is not welcome.
He's not welcome in the commune.
Okay. I love Charlie Brown. I love Pigpen. Wouldn't want to live with them is what I'm saying.
Indeed.
I have known 3 Pigpens in my actual life.
That really harshes the marathon game session when you're like, we don't have a cat. What is that smell?
See?
Wait.
But it's horrible because whoever that Pigpen person is, they don't... They know they smell because they can see that they're dirty, but they don't smell that they smell.
Oh, and I can fix it for them. I can fix it for them when I put my foot in their ass, putting them out the door.
Why would you want to put your foot in that? Because then you'd have to, like,
shower and get extra bandwidth privileges. See, Penny, you got to think it all the way through. This bandwidth rule is golden.
Okay. I'm still talking about the fact she's like, I've known actual pig pens. Like, I'm like, when you say that, you mean like they have like the dust cloud? Like,
oh, no, I've seen a couple of her friends. They have actually roamed around with a dust cloud at their feet.
Ex-boyfriend was pretty close to.
He was close. I mean, sometimes he had stank lines that preceded him.
I know. Yeah. I never hugged him on those days, mind you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I bought him a sweater and made him cut his hair, and he did not like that.
I'm just saying, love makes panda blind.
And then we broke up, so obviously.
If you sniff her real close, you can kind of still smell the aftertaste.
Every once in a while. I mean, you know, it took about a year for the waft to stop coming off her.
Oh my God, I was never that smelly. No, because no matter like how cleanly I was,
remember the road trip
was perpendicular to like him.
Wait, no, so I'm sorry, really you forgot stinky, the road trip.
I was even more clean to counteract his dirty
road trip.
It wasn't him; that was his nasty brother.
I know, but you got nasty by association. It was like osmosis.
I'm just like clean and dirty don't work like that. That's let you know. Like
no.
If you take something cleaner and put it next to something dirty,
it is now less clean because it has become more dirty.
They're not inversely proportioned at all.
No, it doesn't work like that. I love your attempt at the logic, but it just
that was my logic, and I always made sure I was more clean.
It didn't work that way. Let's.
She all spraying herself with body sprays.
She had a can of fabric Febreze, just be dousing herself.
Yeah, every stop we took going on that road trip, I would spray the car with Febreze.
Yeah, and it still didn't work. All right, so moving on.
I did. They didn't see me do it, but I did it.
Yeah. I'm so glad you broke up with that one. Let's talk about games and holiday and everything that's going on. Now, we were talking about you being all over the place, Mayor, because you're actually on a new podcast.
Yeah. I'm on a new podcast with Crix Lee called Gecken, which is actually German for Greek, for geek. Like, it's German for Greek. That
doesn't make any sense. It's German for Greek, which neither one of us are. It's irony.
I know, right? Exactly. No, Gecken is German for geek. And we basically talk about all facets of geek culture. Nothing's off the table. Comics, video games, TV, movies. Like, we do it all. So, and it's been fun. We're the second episode has gone up. We'll be off next week, but you can catch that every Friday, basically, following. Off next week for Christmas. But after the week after that, we'll be back with a new one Friday. And, of course, I'm always doing Fantastic Forum, which is our show at All Games that is about comic books. And, you know, it's really – that's truly my first love, the comic book. So it's like every time I get out, it keeps pulling me back in. I can't help it. So you're doing that. And, you know, who knows what 2013 holds? All types of new and amazing things, hopefully. So I'm excited. Like, I love talking about stuff that I'm passionate about. And it turns out all this stuff.
See, I'm going to have to come on a Fantastic Forum because I've been getting more and more exposed to comic books as of late. Because the new circle of people I've been hanging out with are all griping about the new 52. Oh. Like, they're all angry. And I'm like, I don't exactly know what that means, but you guys seem pretty angry. So is it like a massive reboot of stuff that you guys really liked?
Yeah.
New 52 was crazy. It kind of cleaned the slate for DC Comics and it reinvented almost every one of their heroes. I mean, there were a couple people that kind of made it through the reboot pretty much unchanged. Like Green Lantern, for the most part, got through the new 52 with very few changes in regards to, like, if you're reading the book, it didn't impact you as much. But other books, totally, like Superman, whole different kind of guy. And, you know, there are definitely some changes with Batman and how that timeline works out with the Robins and all that. And so,
oh boy.
Yeah, there are definitely people that are not happy. But at the same time, it was a major coup for DC. They, like, it upped their readership without question. Like, DC hasn't never had or hasn't had this much of the market share in the comic space for a long time. Yeah, I have like at least 4 or 5 DC titles that I keep up with on the regular now, which is something that I could not say previous to New 52. So
which are those guys for you, and why are you so drawn to them?
They did a relaunch of Swamp Thing and Animal Man that is really like some amazing, an amazing delve into, it's not really horror comics. It's more like a, it has like horror, a little bit of the horror tinge to it, but it has a superhero vibe to it as well. And I think that's probably what I find the most interesting, along with the fact that they're telling these amazing connected stories. Like, I'm at a point now where Animal Man, the two writers for Animal Man, or the writers for Animal Man and Swamp Thing, are actually really close friends. And so they like hanging out together just on GP. And the way that these two books read, it's like I'm at the point where I read them literally together at each and every time, one back to back. And it's just a great story about these two men dealing with these powers that they have, and it's kind of, they're connected to forces that are literally bigger than they are, and it affect the entire world. And so it's really cool. It's good books, which I wasn't a fan of either one of those characters, period. But the writers are just so good. Another one that I wasn't reading previous on a regular basis was Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been a fan of Batman. It's hard to be a comic book fan and not be a fan of Batman.
Right.
But Scott Snyder, man, is just doing this amazing things with that series. I mean, he did it with Court of Owls initially. And he's doing it again with Death of the Family, which is actually the return of the Joker in the New 52. And Joker's like, you know, as much of a maniac as the Joker has been in the past, he's like on another level right now in this book. And he's, you know, and they feel like the Joker may actually have the inside track on not only who Batman is, but all of his, like, the extended Bat family. Mm-hmm. So like Batgirl and Nightwing and the Red Robin and Robin and all those people too. So,
oh, and wow.
So yeah, it's a great story, man. Like, and so, and I'm just saying, like, they also did a thing where they brought in some of the Wildstorm characters, which was the characters that Jim Lee, he had his own company before he went back to DC, and they brought some of those characters over that, you know, from his like old universe, and kind of incorporated them into the DC universe, even though I will say a lot of those are not good books, but right. The characters I am fans of. So I kind of, you know, try to keep up a little bit, but it's tough. I'm a little sad about that. Yeah. So, you know, but yeah, basically it's just one of those things where they change their style of storytelling more than anything, where I've always felt Marvel has always had a bit more of an edge than DC in regards to the types of stories they tell and how they handle their characters.
Right.
DC's always kind of been the more traditional superhero route, like kind of taking its cue from Superman and the history with that character.
Mm-hmm.
And with the New 52, they basically edged up their heroes. And, you know, so it's more successful for some than it is for others. But all in all, it at the very least, it got people talking. It got people reading. And, you know, you stick with some of it. Like, out of the 52, it's like I said, I may only be reading 5 of the 52, but that's 5 more than I was reading previous before, to the 52.
Right.
Yeah, so can't be mad at it. Oh, like I said, Green Lantern, too. Actually, I was reading Green Lantern before New 52. And that's consistently good. Geoff Johns is doing that. Yeah, it's a great series. The end.
Yeah, no. For me, you know, I've lived in both camps, right? I'm mostly Marvel, but I've always had a soft spot for Batman, for Batgirl, Nightwing. I've, you know, been back and forth on Superman depending upon what line we're running with, you know? And so for me, New 52 was kind of interesting because, you know, there were certain things that you just knew up until New 52 was never going to happen with a character, you know?
Right.
Batman's whole deal is that he struggles with actually taking life, you know? And you never got really, with the exception of a couple of runoffs with, you know, Frank Miller's side and a couple of small, you know, alternate universe type runs where Batman really truly was very dark, you know?
Right.
And you never got to a point really and truly that Superman was ever going to be dark. He was always going to try and find the way to be the hero, or he was going to sacrifice himself to be the hero. And so, you know, because of that, you were always very limited, I thought, with where the story was going to go. You know, no matter what situation you threw me in, I always knew that if somebody was going to die in a Batman comic book, it wasn't going to be Batman who did it. It was going to be somebody else that was influenced by a decision that either he made or one of the Bat people, if you will, made, that ended up having a regular person or some other metahuman end up taking someone's life. But it was never going to be a Bat character.
Right.
That did it. And so that's very limiting, right? Because you only really then are exploring one side of a character.
How many ways can you not kill someone?
You know, I mean, how many times can you throw somebody in Arkham Asylum and they get out before you realize, wow, unless I actually do something permanent.
See, I want to, like, walk through the asylum and be like, where are these giant holes that people are, like, obviously crawling out of to get out of this place? Like, let's redo the building. Let's refortify the foundation. Like, we gotta do something.
Can we maybe, I don't know, use something stronger?
Can we seal the doors after 8 p.m. so that no one can get out?
Maybe we shouldn't use a combination lock. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Stop using your birthday as the passcode.
Okay? 12345 is not really a secure passcode.
It's like, look, Arkham Asylum is actually just a intricate web of pet doors.
And it so, really is. Like, and really, once really you figure it out,
you just kind of crawl through and you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I kind of am of two camps, because I've read some of the New 52 and, you know, some of the character redesigns I really kind of gravitate towards. And, you know, the reboot that Marvel did, I think, kind of kicked that off. And I was more drawn back into comics than I had, because I kind of fallen out of my love affair. Like, the last series that I was, like, diehard about was the Cassandra Cain Batgirl arc. And I just, I love that from beginning to end. They're literally sitting all in plastic.
She tried to get me to read them. I know, opened
and
one.
She opened one, didn't
and read
finish
halfway
it.
Through, and I was like, I'll get back to it later. And I'm like,
8 months later, they're still all in the box in the living room. I was like, fuck you, I'm taking these back.
I'm like, I will go back, because I did like it, but I think stuff was going on in life stuff.
I'm like, you don't deserve the awesomeness that is in this box
right
now.
But I appreciated what I did read.
You know, but that kind of was like really and truly like the last from beginning to end DC that I was like in love with. For a while, I went over to Dark Horse, and there were a lot more.
See, now I wish that I had read more comics, because I think the last thing that I read that was a comic all the way through isn't even, I think, DC or Marvel, but I read all of Transmet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Transmetropolitan's awesome.
Oh, man.
Gordon Ellis is one of my favorite writers. I love that guy.
I read all of those, and then I went and bought Silent Hill, and I can't remember which arc it is, because it's not the most current one. I think it's the first one. I'm like, this is not like the game. Boo! Like, I don't like this at all. Boo!
Yeah, you gotta watch out when you talk about video game comic adaptations. Like, sometimes they work, but not all the time.
Oh, no, and I know that. I mean, I think because it was like a three comic book arc, and the third one pulled in the first two. So, actually, I think they said that you should have read the third one backwards. Like, if you read 3-1, it made more sense than 1-3.
And it's psychologically messing with you.
Yeah. So when I reread them that way, I was like, now I get stuff. But the protagonist for me in that whole thing, she just didn't care about anyone or anything. And she was on this mission to figure out what happened to her sister. But at the end, she's like, you know what? I really don't care. I'm like, then why did you waste your time getting to Silent Hill to figure it out? If at the end you're like, I just want to control these people and be like their goddess of whatever. And I embrace the darkness. It's like, shut up, bitch. You don't deserve your own comic.
You don't. I can't even stand you right this minute.
Like, you couldn't. And, like, I don't get it. But, I mean, I've heard that there have been one-offs in the whole Silent Hill series that have been really good. Like, mm-hmm. they've really honed in on the right things.
Right.
But because they're not all, they don't all flow together, it's kind of hard to know which one you should read.
Yeah, see, I am of, like, two minds on the comic video game overlap. You know, in theory, it sounds really good, right? You know, I loved reading, when I was younger, the graphic novels for Star Wars. Like, those were just fantastic books for me. And so,
Star Wars comics have been great for a while.
You know, in theory, you would think that the overlap of my two passions...
No, there's so much story there that... Why not put it in that form?
You know, and that's where I think that you kind of go off the rails and you have to be careful with doing the overlap between video game and comic book. You know, the Mass Effect series actually reads really well. And I think that because that's the universe is so diverse, it lends itself well to a comic or graphic novel set of arcs as a companion piece, as well as to, you know, take the story to other places beyond that, very much in the same vein as the Star Wars stuff for me. I think that, you know, you could do a lot with Uncharted. I think that you could do a lot with God of War.
But I think eventually people would start getting tired of Uncharted because, I mean, essentially you're going to get this. Drake wants to find this treasure. Stuff goes bad. He finds a piece. He finds some more trouble.
Well,
he finds it, but it's not what he thinks it is.
Dude, but it just depends on where you go with it.
And
okay?
Maybe a Chloe joke at the end?
No, like, no. You would like a Chloe joke at the end just because you want to say quack.
Her end.
But...
Ayo.
Ba-dum-bum-sh. But, I mean, it just depends on what you do with it. Like, you could do a series of Uncharted books where they were choose your own adventure. So you, as Drake, make a decision.
See, but
and
then
you go
I would,
in this place.
I would do it the way I wanted to do it, but then I'd want to go, but what if he did the, oh, he died. Like, oh, what happened? Oh, he died.
But there's your value add, just as much as you were playing through the game. I think you could have some fun with that.
But whereas, I mean, I did things like that in certain games, though. Like, with Res 5, after I completed it, I went back, because, you know, there was a lot of those cut you know, QTEs. And I'm like, what happens if I miss this? Oh, I get my head gets severed.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying, is that I think that Uncharted, if you did a series that were, you know, not just stories or, you know, even more deep into the backstory of Drake and, you know,
Sully.
I mean, we don't get how Sully got to be Sully. I mean, you could do a series of books that
Sully
were
Sully got with Marlowe from 3 at some point. There
you know,
was some attraction
so there's
there.
A lot of story that you can delve into that doesn't make sense to be in a video game. Like, I wouldn't want to play a game where it was Sully trying to bang Marlowe. I would not want to be a part of that.
Old Sully or younger Sully?
I don't care. I don't want a part of that. I know what they end up being. No, thank you. I don't want that image in my head. But as a story,
well, I mean,
to understand...
I don't think the game would be just you getting with Marlo. I think you'd have to see that affair.
No, that would have to be like that. No,
why it became
I don't
want to
see
passing
it.
In the night as opposed to Titanic.
I'd rather... No, it sounds like Titanic to me. I'd rather just read it and move on. But I think that, you know, there are a lot of titles to me that don't make sense for being comics, and those are things to steer away from. I will
Street Fighter.
Oh, please, Jesus.
Yeah, Street Fighter's a good example. You know what works really well, surprisingly, is Mega Man.
Yeah.
Like, there's a Mega Man comic out right now out of Archie Comics that is pretty much fantastic. And it's an all-ages book, which a lot of comic fans stay away from, only because, you know, when you say all-ages, a lot of people automatically think kids. But the book is actually well-written. It has great stories. It does the characterization pretty well, and the art is what you would want Mega Man to look like. So it's cool stuff. It's real cool stuff.
And that's the thing that's, like... For me, really important with comics, and I think that they make a great gift when you come to holidays, especially for younger readers, to introduce them to something that's a little bit different than everything they know, right? You know, like for me, when I first got introduced to comics, I was actually in middle school, and a friend of mine who I was hanging out with, who I was not supposed to hang out because he was a poor influence on anybody and everybody he came across... and he really wasn't. He was just a really creative cat, and nobody really kind of understood him. And his big thing was...
He was just misunderstood.
He really was. Like, he loved doing art. Like, he was passionate. He was going to be an inker. That's what he wanted to be.
Wow.
And so he...
Isn't an inker just a tracer?
Hey, how dare you?
Watch that.
Hey, yo.
Just because you watched Clerks doesn't mean you get to make that comic.
Wait, wasn't that from... That wasn't from Clerks. That was from...
Chasing Amy.
Yeah, it was Chasing Amy.
Hey yo.
There you go. Anyway, but he did. Like he was passionate about it. And so he would draw all the time and his locker was constantly filled with comics. And so we were talking one day because I really liked art, but I couldn't really draw like at all.
We just
started talking and he was going on about all different kinds of artists and being, influenced by different music. And he's like, I got a whole comic inspired by this album by Zappa that I listened to. And like, he would show me his comic books that he put together. And then we would just talk. And so he's like, you got to read this. And he was the one who got me on to X-Men. Cause I really hadn't started with that. And to get me on to X-Men, he gave me a couple of his X-Factor comic books. And he's like, you need to read the X-Men one. He goes, but before you read that, you've got to read X-Factor. And so like, he gave me three comics. I went home with them. I read the two X-Factor ones. I was like, hooked. I couldn't wait to get back to school on Monday. I like dropped the comics. I was at his locker dogging him like, dude, I need the next ones. Cause I didn't know where to go to get comic books. It wasn't like we had a local comic book place in Lynn. So I didn't even know where he was getting the hookup, you know? And so I didn't know, but I needed to get this stuff. And so I distinctly remember my mom taking me to go to Toys R Us to get something. And I saw that they had a comic aisle. And, right. The half of the aisle was comic, and the other half of the aisle at the time was video games, which in this case, in this day, was just Super NES, SNES games. And right. I was, in heaven, because I was like, oh, my God, I can get comics. And so that's when I really got in love with them, and I found that my curiosity got piqued, because, you had a limited amount of story, and then you had to wait. There was no instant gratification. You were waiting a month for the next issue to come out.
Kids of today would go nuts if they couldn't get the next one right off the
bat. And so then my mind would run wild for like a month ago. Okay, where could this story go? Where are these characters going to go? Am I going to get this? Is this? And then I used to get pissed when the next comic would come out and it'd be an offshoot to start another story arc on another comic line to try and get me interested in the other comic. Like, no, finish my story, bitch. And I think that there's some of that that's missing in the instant gratification stuff that you get now, and I feel like, especially with the advent of digital comics, that it's a great time to reintroduce a younger generation. And I think that's part of the reason why the new 52 boot and the Marvel reboot made sense to both companies, because, right. You and I and Mayor Young all have a certain idea about how Superman is and how Batman is. And so we don't have to read a comic because we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And with the reboot now, you don't. I don't know Green Arrow. I knew Green Arrow.
Right. It's interesting, though, because, real quick, side note, my first comic was an X-Factor comic as well. So I was just like, I don't know. I remember it vividly. It was X-Factor 68. And it's like, I walked into a 7-Eleven and I saw a cover and I was looking at it. And I was like, wow, what's going on with that guy? And it was like a buck. And I was like, well, you know what? Let me just see. And that was it. That was my gateway drug, into the terrible addiction that is comic books. But I will say that as it relates to reboots, Marvel did their thing different than DC.
Mm-hmm.
Because Marvel reboots their characters on a regular basis.
Yep.
And it's like, they're always, ending a run, renumbering to a number one, and like, oh, it's a whole new era for this particular guy. And then, sometimes they'll even go back. X-Factor is a good example of that, where there was a point where they started to go, they went to X-Factor 1, and then after like 50 issues, they're like, okay, well, we're going back now. And it was like the next issue after issue 50 was like, issue 151 or something like that. And it's just like, hey, they do it. It's comics. Why? I don't know. but the fact is, the characters in the Marvel universe are constantly in flux, and I think they try to make particular points for people to decide to jump on, because they realize that every book it could be somebody's first book. I mean, I think sometimes they pay a little too much attention to it, but at the same time, I understand. Like, you're trying to, it's marketing versus story content. Well, not I should say versus story content, but it's marketing. And so, I understand it. I think DC's DC's New 52 makes a bigger splash.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they than killing off Professor X.
Well, you know, but see, that's the thing. It's like, Professor X has been killed before.
I know, wasn't he jumping minds? Like,
yeah, it's one thing jumping minds, but it's another one to, like, really, because, like, that bugged me. You know, Professor X has died before, but it's usually been, like, in service to something else, seriously and truly. It hasn't just been, like, a straight out, no, seriously, I just killed his ass. Now he's dead. Just look at that for a second and understand he's dead. I was like, fucking, no! Like, that's the first time I had that reaction.
See, he died outside of his comic and you don't regenerate. That's what happened.
That's what happens when you jump comics, bitch.
That's when you go turbo.
Oh, Wreck-It Ralph reference.
That was a good movie. I liked it. I cried.
You did. Like a bitch.
I did.
She did.
I did.
She did.
At the very end. At the very end. I'm not crying.
I look over and I'm like, seriously? She's like, I just had an emotional moment.
I just had a panda moment right now.
She's like, I'm all right. It's in my eye. And I'm like, yeah, and drown your face.
It got me.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's for good reason.
So what would you recommend as a great first comic to start off as a gift this holiday?
Like, if someone was going to give a Christmas gift of a comic, what would you suggest that they do?
I'm glad you asked. No. So, you know, basically I'm thinking if you're going to give a gift, because, you know, I love single issues of comics, mm-hmm. but if you're going to give somebody a gift for Christmas, one, you know, even though comics are ridiculously expensive right now with, you know, being anywhere from $2.99 to $3.99 a pop, that's not a lot of money to spend on just like if you're that's all you're getting somebody, you know, for Christmas. So it's kind of like I would say go the trade paperback route,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or the, you know, like collected graphic novel type route. And I would recommend there's two series that I definitely were feeling you should just go with if you're thinking about getting comics for someone, your friend, your relative, whoever. One of which is the Batman series that I talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's Scott Snyder, and then the artist is Greg Capullo, which actually Greg Capullo kind of got his chops over at Image doing Spawn. Like, he was the artist for Spawn after Todd. And so, you know, it's like he's been a talented artist for a long, long time, but when I tell you that he's bringing his A game on Batman, it's ridiculous. So they have the first six issues of Batman collected, Batman Volume 1. I believe it is called Court. I think it is like Court of Owls, I think is the title of it. But either way, if you go Batman Volume 1 for the New 52, it's a no-brainer. It's fantastic. They're going to love it. It puts Batman in one of the best lights he's been in a long time, as well as giving him a nemesis that is extra worthy of Batman. Like, it builds on some of the stuff that has happened in Scott Snyder's run on Detective Comics, but you don't need to read any of that stuff to appreciate and understand what's going on in Batman. So just, you can definitely pick that up. And the other series I would say you should get is Saga Volume 1.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought up Saga because I just started reading it.
Oh, yeah. Saga is fantastic. It's out of Image Comics. It's Brian K. Vaughan's return basically to comics because he took a little time off for a while. You know, he was doing Lost, like the TV show, and, you know, dabbling in other things in TV. But previously, he's the guy that, for those that don't know, he's the guy that's responsible for such comics like Marvel's The Runaways and Why the Last Man, which is an amazing story about a dude that's literally the last man on Earth, and Ex Machina. These are all fantastic series that have actually come to a close. So he came back and he's doing this book called Saga, which is about basically a couple that is in the midst of an alien civil war.
Yeah, there are two different types.
Right. The couple is basically comprised of a man from one side of the Civil War and a woman from the other side of the Civil War.
And they have a baby. But that's...
And they have a baby. Like, if you're like saying to yourself, okay, Saga, that kind of sounds familiar. It did stir up a little bit of controversy because the first issue actually had the female woman, or the female woman.
The female woman of the womanly kind.
It had the female character breastfeeding on the cover, and it caused a little bit of a stink, which I thought was hilarious because I'm like, wait a minute. So people are like, what's this all about with this woman breastfeeding on the cover?
But in most comics, women are barely wearing anything resembling clothes.
I mean, it's skin tight and nipples are like the doing, doing, doing. Like it's cold outside.
They're waging war against the nylon
that is barely holding them back.
If you want to show your bare ass, that's one thing. But if you want to go ahead and like start breastfeeding kids, that's
a whole thing. If you want to feed the hungry, you're gonna have to stop.
I'm gonna have to stop you right there because that is just disgusting.
That is inappropriate.
And inappropriate for children. The camel toe, however, in your leotard that is airbrushed on your body, perfectly fine.
Right.
Let's zoom in on that too for more clarity.
So the series itself though is really fantastic because it has these two vastly different alien cultures that you learn about. It has this couple that's trying to protect their baby from both sides of their respective armies. And it has all these other great characters in it that are just, I mean, they're just really fantastic. It's like, it has a fantasy and sci-fi backdrop and strong aspect of those to the series. But the dialogue is very grounded. And so it's kind of like, it feels like these are people you know, despite the fact that the dude has horns and the chick has wings.
Has wings. Yeah, and the baby, they're like, what kind of thing is she going to be? Like, she has these little, like, buffalo wings right now. Like, these little, because they haven't really come out of her skin yet, as far as I am. So, like, we don't know what it's going to be. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited.
The other aspect of the book that makes it really interesting is the fact that it has... The narrator is actually the baby that gets born, and it's like she's kind of telling it. She's telling the story as it's happening, but from a perspective of having been there, done that already. Like she knows how it's going to end, so it's like it's almost kind of like a how I Met Your Mother kind of thing going on, where
aliens.
Yeah, right. But you know, in that sense, that you know, she's talking about the story of how her parents got through this tumultuous time where they were trying to, you know, keep her alive from these different alien armies. And it's really interesting, really cool. You won't, like, no one, I think, that will take the time to read it would be disappointed because the dialogue's fantastic. It's an interesting story. And then I also have to give props to Fiona Staples, whose art is top notch, man. I tell you.
It is like, art. You should check it out. It's
one of these things too, where it's like, you know, she does the covers as well. So it's like sometimes, you know, you see a beautiful cover in a comic and you open it up and it's like, oh, well, this is not
what I signed on for.
Yeah.
This is not on the outside, you know, but you never get that with Saga because it's stunning front to back. So that's what I would suggest. Batman and Saga. Those are two great reads that I think any either long time or newly introduced comic fan would enjoy.
Video game wise, we're going to go back around the other way. Video game recommendation, right, Panda.
Video game recommendation. I'm going to say Cognition, an Erica Reed story, which I haven't even talked about on the show yet.
What?
In terms of, yeah, it's an adventure. It's a,
in your pants?
No, for your computer.
Oh, for your fingers.
It's pants optional because it's on your computer.
Nice.
I tend to wear it with pants.
That's good. That's good. I prefer you gaming with pants.
It has brought me back to adventure, you know, click adventure gaming, which I have not been a part of for many years of my life. It is available on Steam for the, you know, PCs and for Macs, which is great. So there you go.
Gifts on Steam.
Gifts on Steam. Video games. Me and streaming. Streaming seems to be my thing.
Streaming.
And it has a element of crime solving.
And so is it a mystery?
It's, yeah. And it takes place in Boston and not fringe Boston, like actual Boston, which is great.
I can't
say. I asked the girl that I did the interview with, I'm like, is this fringe Boston where it's kind of supposed to be Boston, but we all know it's not?
Totally Chicago.
Yeah. And she's like, no. She's like, we actually took pictures in Boston. We were here doing big research on Boston. I'm like, good. I'm like, does the main character have a Bostonian accent? She's like, we got a Bostonian for it. I'm like, great.
Sweet.
I'm like, great. Is
it Mark Wahlberg?
No, it's a chick.
Is it Mark Wahlberg?
No, it's not Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
But
just saying, typically when people are like, we need a Bostonian accent,
it's going to be
Mark Wahlberg.
It's going to be episodic.
Okay.
The first two episodes are now available. I'm only playing in episode one right now. And it's great. Like, sadly, I'm not all that great with my, because your character has cognitive abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So you show up to a scene and her perception is just nuts. So you have to use it to look at things and then figure out the steps of how things happen,
mm-hmm.
which I'm great at getting to a point where I'm like, oh, okay, so he put all these wires in this order this way. Great. But because I'm so unfamiliar with Click Adventures now, because I used to play them back in the day when I was really, really, you know, young.
Which was a Wednesday.
Yeah. And so now my hand positions on my keyboard and stuff I'm not set anymore.
You're not fingering it, right?
I'm not.
Mm,
and I die a lot because my fingering is just not great anymore.
True that.
And it makes me, it's challenging me to my motor skills.
You gotta increase your fingering skills by +5, girl.
I need more than +5. Woo! I need like +15.
Yikes. You've been away from it for a while.
I have. Mm. But I mean, the mysteries and the puzzle solving, I'm right there. But anytime
that you actually
encounter a villain or something that you have to interact with fast enough, and
your
it's
fingers
not like you
just
keep,
aren't up to the
they're
speed.
They're not up to speed.
Right.
They're dial up. I need Fios. But it's so much fun, and it's got a comic book. It got praised for its visuals
because
it's comic book. It's cel shaded. It's I don't want to say blocky, but I mean, it's not fluid animation, but I'll show it to you.
Yeah, but it's more in the
it's
style
more
of
a comic book.
It's more of in the style of a comic book and Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Heavy shading and certain, yes, yep. Absolutely. And it was a shocker to me to see it at the Boston Indiecade thing, and I'm glad to see that it's made its way to Steam. People are loving it, so that's my video game.
What about you, Mayor?
You know, it's interesting because there are so many games that came out in this last.
I know.
Yeah,
my Amex statement is
November,
very familiar.
December,
ever. October, November was ridiculous, but if I got to go with one particular game. I think I'm gonna go with XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Nice.
I didn't play XCOM.
Yeah, see, and that's, well, trust me, like I said, all these games came out, it's like, and it's just, you had to make choices. Unless you were like the senior editor at one of like the top three gaming sites, you did not
have
these games, right, in your collection. So it's like, you know, not even the peons probably don't own all these games that came out, but XCOM Enemy Unknown is like, it was a game that I was waiting for years, where it's just like a cool console-based turn-based tactical game, and it's awesome. It's like it takes all the best parts of what XCOM was, and takes and elevates it. And just like seamlessly combines it with modern day gaming sensibilities, and it's a fantastic game. You could play it over and over. I say to people, it's kind of my new Civ Rev, my new Civilization.
Oh man, you play Civ Rev like all the time. Oh,
yeah, I love playing Civilization Revolution, but I have to say, like, when all these games came out, I had to stop because I'm like, I can't play that and everything else. So I was like, but XCOM kind of took its spot because it's a great game, man, and I enjoy it thoroughly. I think it's one of those things where even if the tactical kind of turn-based gameplay isn't what you're normally used to or something you've never tried before, you should give XCOM a go because it's really sleek in the way that it does its controls, and it's a lot more fun than you would anticipate, I think, for like, if even if you're not into that kind of game, like, I think it could win over some folks. So I would definitely say, if you have a guy or gal that's a tactical kind of gamer, it's like, we haven't had a game like this in a long time. So XCOM: Enemy Unknown.
Nice.
Well, what about you, Ninja?
Mine's kind of a combo thing, depending upon how much money you're trying to put out on somebody.
I ain't in love.
You know, so. And so mine's kind of split, because...
Panda's not in love.
Panda's in lust. Like, and
whoa.
What?
Whoa.
Heavy petting.
Whoa, no, not even that. Heavy. I don't want to say that.
Heavy.
Let's say I was going to take the approach of, we cool, and I like hanging out with you alone, but we ain't in love yet.
Okay.
Like,
which one? So here's the thing. Like, I've been playing a shit ton of the games that came out. I didn't get all of them because my husband was like, no.
She got so many that halfway through she's like, I can't finish.
I can't. You play it. I was like, here, I can't.
For a girl who ain't got no job and no money, I sure got some of the hottest games this year.
I know, and you still ain't played half of them, motherfucker.
I'm trying.
So anyway,
ship them to LA.
I mean, seriously, like, at one point in time, I was like, shit, I can't open all these games.
Hitman Absolution came. You open it.
I'm like, here, you open it. I'm like, I can't even, I just open fucking the Nintendo Wii. I can't, shit, play it.
Right.
So, I'm going to get as much as I possibly can. We're going to shift this shit around because, like, there's no way that any of us are going to be able to play all this shit. Between all the stuff for the 3DS, the Wii U, all of the AAA titles that decided to come out in the same fucking week. I was like, we got to tackle as many as possible. We are a video game tech engine. I was like, fuck. So anyway, I got as many as I possibly could, because I know this broke heifer over here wasn't going to be able to pick up any. And I was like, look.
Well, I would just have to steal. And then
And then I would have had to bail you out, and then I wouldn't have been able to get the games. And so I appreciate you thinking for both of us.
I was
like, look, you got systems, I got systems, we'll split, we'll conquer, it'll be awesome. And so I got a bunch of things in. Assassin's 3, Hitman Absolution,
so Call good.
Of Black Ops 2, the Far Cry 3, the Wii U with Nintendo Land, and the Super Mario Brothers game.
Oh, Zombie U! I haven't played you yet.
Dance Central 3.
Mm-hmm.
Shit! What else am I forgetting? There's like two other games.
Borderlands 2.
Yeah. Borderlands 2, and then
Dishonored.
Yes, Dishonored.
Which
And notice we haven't even talked about Halo.
Yeah, I'm not a Halo person, so I didn't get Halo.
No, I'm just saying. It was
a big title, though.
Look. So those are literally within the same 2 weeks, all those things came out, and I was like, "Shit." Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna divide and conquer, and so
it's like, let's freak out because we have so many games.
I know. I was like, "Oh, first word problems. I can't play all these games."
Yeah, dude, it's so crazy.
You know, and so we split them up, and I tackled Assassin's 3. I tackled Black Ops 2, Dishonored.
And Far Cry 3. I played some Nintendo Land
and Mario and Hitman
Absolution and
Dance Central 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
And so I got through some of them. I didn't finish Dishonored. I was on the last I'm on the last freaking mission, and I can't get to the dude I have to kill. I'm like, this is just some shit. I'm like, but I gotta move on to other games. So
and she's what? You're halfway through? Are you even halfway through Far Cry yet?
I'm like a quarter.
Are you about to hit the middle?
Far Cry? I'm maybe getting closest to like a quarter. because at the same time, in order to really talk about the Wii U and be fair, I felt like I needed to play a mature game that was available on
Darksiders.
Yeah, right. That was available on other consoles, so I could do a compare and contrast. Because it's not fair to judge the Wii U on games that are built by Nintendo for their own system. You know, that's kind of like putting fish in a barrel and be like, I'm going to be the best fisherman ever, and then taking out an AK-47 and shooting
the
fish in a barrel
with
it. Exactly. So it's not fair to rate the Wii U on how fun or not fun a Mario game is. Like, you can't play in any place else. Of course it's going to be fun on Nintendo's own system.
Right.
So I felt like I had to play an adult title. So I also picked up Darksiders 2 on the Wii U, and I've been playing that. And
that camera is wonky as fuck, man.
Yeah, shit. Oh, my God. It's like...
it was giving me a headache just watching you try to swim.
And I tried to turn the sensitivity fucking down. But I got through all the games and, like, as much as I possibly could. And when I sit here thinking about, okay, instantly the game that if I'd beaten all of them that I go back to right now and pick up and play. If I'm honest with myself.
Which I hope you would be.
I'm going to be honest. Lie. I'm not going to lie. It's a toss-up between Black Ops 2 and Assassin's Creed for me. Because the replay value on both of those is pretty high. You know,
Because Assassin's Creed is in Boston, whatever.
It's not even about it being in Boston, although, you know, I got to represent Boston. For my hometown.
Boston,
you know,
Tea Party, bitch! Dropping PT tips in the bay!
Okay. Bean Town? No. I mean, I replayed the shit
Boston
out of...
Boston redefined teabagging. Heyo!
That's true. I like that. Nice.
Yeah!
Nice. Did you just come up
with
that?
Yes, I did.
Nice.
Original.
Nice. But no, I replayed the shit out of all of the Assassin's games with the exception of one. So even when it was in Italy and it had nothing to do with Boston, I just enjoyed the gameplay, the story, and the replay value between all the collectibles and then the multiplayer and then the additional map packs and episodes that you could download. It was just a high replay value for me. And that's really what I want out of a game is I want to be able to pick up and go through the story and get through it really quickly if I enjoy the mechanics. But ultimately, I want a game that isn't going to be just a one and done. Like, I don't want to hit it and quit it.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a one and done.
There's nothing wrong with a one and done, but I feel like that's what XBLA and PSN, you know, and indie games are for. Single focus, here's the thing, run through it like an arcade and be done. On a console side, if I'm shelling out $60, I want something that I can run through and have one experience, and then I can come back and I can maybe spend some more time, up the difficulty, get different weapons, get a different experience.
Get different.
Seriously, that's what I want. Otherwise, I don't feel like, you know, it's $60 or $70 well spent. Like, you know, right. You can Limp Bizkit it all you want, but that's how I feel. Like, if I'm shelling out $60, you better give me more than just a McDonald's burger, else I'm gonna be pissed.
But what if it's a Big Mac?
There's no Big Mac worth $70.
A gourmet Big Mac.
I don't care if
Big Mac with cheese.
I don't care if it's got gorgonzola on that bitch. It's still a fucking Big Mac.
Now I kind of want a Big Mac.
I kind of want a Big Mac with gorgonzola. I think that would actually be pretty good. But anyway,
I will have to agree with you though in regards to replay value for both Assassin's Creed and Black Ops 2. Like you could play both of those games all day.
Exactly, and feel like you got your $60 or $70 worth, depending upon which platform and which
bear hunting,
you know, connection that you got. But you know, even the pelt thing. You know, it actually added a layer to me because, you know, you had to watch on your map where different things were to figure out, okay, which things do I need to hunt that, one, I can catch pretty easily with the weapons that I have, and two, will give me enough money so I can get into town and actually get the weapons that I want for blowing people away.
Or, I mean, get that PG tips for that, you know, hit of energy.
I still haven't fully immersed myself into the caravan system thing that they got going on.
No, I did that the one time for the one mission you had to do it.
Right.
And then I never revisited it. So there's
like that by itself is like a mini game that you could get into
and spend hours on.
I feel like Ubisoft does that though. Hey, here's this big game, but we're gonna put so many more mini games to make it even bigger.
Well, and not even bigger, but you know, there are different things that are gonna attract to different people. Like, you know, if you're the RPG elements that are in Assassin's Creed, I don't think get enough credit a lot of times because the skill system is ridiculous. And so the replay value for that is so high. Like, I finished the story. I felt the story was really good. I felt like it really was a good closure to Desmond's story.
Yep, because I don't think we've seen the last of Assassin's Creed.
No, of course not. It's a cash cow. I think, but it finished Desmond's story in a way
so hard. Cash cow.
That felt right for Desmond's final outing.
Well, I don't know
outing.
How he can come back. He kind of disintegrated it.
Yeah, he's not coming back. So, like that was pretty much Yubi going, no, seriously, Desmond's
dead. This is how done he is.
Okay, this is more than killing off Professor X. We're going to obliterate him into pixels before your face. He's not coming back. But
Unless you got downloaded to a floppy.
That would have to be a massive zip drive.
Oh,
a
my
floppy
God.
Couldn't hold
all
that data.
Can you imagine the defrag on that floppy to get...
Okay, and so, like, if I have to sit between the two of them, like, the one that I would put back in my system right now, and I can't believe I'm going to say it, but it's really true, for me would be Black Ops 2.
See, and I thought you were going to go that way.
And I really like from beginning to fucking end, enjoyed Black Ops 2.
To the fucking end.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the end.
Because I mean, when you save the world, you got to celebrate with a fuck. You don't.
Well, I guess
you don't go to, you know, Smith and Wolensky and have a steak. Like, you get nasty. You're like, wow.
Why can't I have a steak and get nasty?
You get nasty first, then you have the steak.
No, you need the energy from the steak first.
I'm coming off the energy of just saving the world. Trust me, my endorphins are pumping.
From saving the world.
Shepard was tired. Shepard might have been tired, but let me tell you, he still was tapping ass.
In the middle, not at the end.
If he hadn't been obliterated, or she hadn't been obliterated, depending upon which Shepard you played, guaranteed, let me tell you right now, if my Shepard survived the next thing after being like, yeah,
see,
Paragon
not so
points,
bad for my fem shit,
I'd
because
be banging everybody on my ship.
Because my first playthrough of that,
female,
I fucked up
male,
in romancing, and
alien,
I didn't get no nookie, and I saved the world a virgin. Yeah.
I'm so sorry for you. I was, like, trying to bang everything, and then I realized you can't bang everything. You can only bang one thing. As soon as you pick one thing,
monogamy.
The other thing's like, no, I'm not getting on that.
Monotony, even in space.
And you're just like, monogamy is, like, not the way I want to go with my shepherd, but I can't make my shepherd
at home. Because, like, look, I'm going to probably kill, like, I'm probably going to die saving the world.
I'm
can
getting
get
as much ass. Seriously, I'm getting all the ass. If I'm
even
gonna,
hot gay dude, I want you to.
I'm getting
you
that.
Too.
I mean, Cortez was hot. I'm just.
Oh man,
all I'm saying,
I wanted him so bad.
I know. I was like, is there like a way that you could gender swap in the
it's
middle
like,
of the game
just
real quick?
Realize how powerful I am and think I'm a man.
I mean, a strap on is a strap on. I mean, from
well,
behind,
you, can
you can't
the
even
lights.
Tell.
You don't have to touch anything.
But
I'll do
anyway.
It.
Like
wow.
Yeah, we had that conversation. We went there.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, for me, like, ultimately, like, the game that I... If I wasn't on a mission right now to get through Darksiders on the Wii, the game that I would put back in my Xbox right now and just have a blast playing through would be Black Ops 2. And
Blops 2.
No, don't call it Blops.
Blops.
Blops. That just...
You do multiplayer too, Ninja?
That just degrades you.
Have you done any of the multiplayer yet?
I've done some multiplayer, yeah, where I haven't actually gotten kicked out of the room because I have tits.
I'm sure it's not because of your tits.
Oh, no, because let me not have that conversation. But, no, multiplayer, most of the time on Black Ops, is really difficult for me because more times than not, I end up in a group that, you know, do nothing but play FPSs and immediately are like, oh my god, it's a girl, throw her out, she can't play. Or it turns into, oh my god, it's a girl, shoot the girl.
Dude, you totally have friends. Like, we can play Black Ops.
I need
Lawrence will play Black Ops.
I need buddies to play Black Ops with me multiplayer.
I would love to play Black Ops with you.
I suck at the game, but I really enjoy playing.
But you could be, like you said, the grenade.
Seriously, that's what I do. I am the support wench. I will be in the back fragging the shit out of people coming at you, but I'm not the sniper.
If someone gives me Black Ops 2 for Christmas, I'll get through the game and then I'll multiplayer and I'll be a sniper. I'm a sniper person.
Yeah, I know, you sniper.
I'm a panda. I have to lay down and barely move and then breathe and then take shots.
Yeah.
And I'm awesome.
But yeah, Black Ops 2 would be it for me. Like, I really felt that in the single player campaign was probably the strongest single player that I've ever played in a Call of Duty game, frankly.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it. I thought the villain was really very well thought out, delivered, you know,
and he wasn't
as
evil just to be evil. He had
correct,
he was evil,
you know,
and dark for
and you
reasons.
Got to explore that, as opposed to just a bad guy who's just a bad guy,
okay,
and we gotta take him out.
He bombed Russia like 4 times. Well, that's not very nice. No, yeah. Let's kill him.
I thought that Menendez was really delivered really well, had the absolute perfect voice actor, the right motivation. You know, at times, I found myself feeling for Menendez.
That's the point.
And that's the first time that's happened for me in, you know, a Call of Duty game, is that I found myself being okay with and having a moment where I aligned with the bad guy, but still realize he's still the bad guy and has to go. But I get where he's coming from. And that's really important to me as far as having, you know, a good versus evil.
If he was a person on Facebook, I'd like some of his funny cat pictures, but I wouldn't hang out with him.
Right. Like, you know, I wouldn't friend him directly, but when I saw his stuff show up in the feed because of one of my
friends.
Like,
if it was a cat, like, hang in there. Like, haha, hang in there.
Like, you know, I mean, because it really wasn't a true evil, true good guy. There were the flavors of gray in there, and I thought it was delivered really well. Not to mention, and the fucker was action-packed. It is, and it was like fucking action-packed from beginning to end, and I really just enjoyed the single player beyond belief. And then you add on zombies, you add on the multiplayer, fuck, and yeah, it's just solid. So it would be my first recommendation for, you know, for anyone who's getting a new system. I don't care if you're picking it up on the PS3 or the Xbox 360, both play really well. It would be my recommendation for, you know, the first game that anybody picking up a system for the holiday season should play. And then my next close second would be Assassins on that. And I don't feel like you have to have played 1 and 2 to enjoy 3. It helps, but I feel like if 3 is your introduction,
I see where you would go with that. I mean, because Connor's story is very historic.
Mm-hmm.
That we've all sat in a classroom and learned this
some
stuff.
Of those pieces, absolutely.
So it's not like a whole brand new story. Like, I never studied Italian history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of wish, like, after I played the other games, I went back to kind of understand, like, the Borgia.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, obviously they're important somehow, so yes. let me learn about them a little bit. Shit. But this is like, this, I got this. I live in Boston. I've seen that harbor. It's a mess. I'm like, I've seen it. I know.
But yeah, I think that you know, Connor's story and the tack that they took with Connor is so different than what they've done previously with Ezio and Altair that you don't have to have played 1 and 2 to play 3. But if you play 3, you'll go back and want
to
play.
If you go into 3, though, I think you really have to play
Brotherhood. Yeah.
And to get that middle transition, you gotta do Revelations.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, well, I'll say this. You know, I played Assassin's Creed 1, and I liked it, but I didn't actually finish it. Because
I did the first thing where you climb up really high, and I'm like, yep, and I'm done.
Yeah, but that's the thing where it's like, I was kind of like, and I appreciated it for the story, but the game itself didn't hold me enough for me to actually, like, go through the entire thing.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that they switched in 2.
Right, and then 2 definitely was better. But at the same time, it didn't hold me long enough as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have not played any of the ones since 2. I went straight from 2
to 3. Yeah, you're missing out.
Yeah, no. Oh, no. You gotta.
But here's the thing you know me, like, I love stories. So I went and found out what the story was for all those games anyway. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I caught up from a story perspective, but I didn't actually play the games. I don't, knowing the story, like, and don't get me wrong, I mean, some people, they won't want to, like, sit and read through either, like, you know, a fan page or hear it from somebody else that played it or go to a wiki and get the info that way. But if you do, I would say it's worthwhile because it's a fantastic story.
Yeah, it is.
And it not playing the other games hasn't dulled my enjoyment of 3 at all.
Yeah.
Like but that's because I think, once again, like, that's knowing the story. Like, I understand why I'm in that cave. You know what
yes,
I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I understand why I'm there, and I understand what it is that I'm trying to do. Like, if you don't know any of the other stuff, you might be like, well, I don't know. And don't get me wrong, I think I haven't finished playing 3 yet,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure that as the story progresses, they'll tell you more about why you're there.
Yes.
So for those people that didn't,
you'll get those great transitions and those great FMVs.
Yeah, instead of the pieces of truth, you will have interactions with Juno that explain.
So it's like, instead of seeing images for a while, we're just going to say, blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, I'm so glad I didn't have to play with a chessboard to figure that out.
Yeah, I fucking hated the fucking truth puzzles.
And I mean, I played through the like that first introductory level of 1 and could not believe that the game would be jumping off of stuff.
Yeah, I got halfway through 1. I was like, nope.
I was like, I was done with that. And I watched you play 2.
Yep.
I didn't come into the series until Brotherhood.
Yeah. Because I gave you my 2 to play and you didn't.
No, because you did give me 2 and I didn't. But then you got Brotherhood and then you got 2 copies of it and you gave me
the 1. Yeah, Amazon made a foobar and they sent me 2 copies of the same game.
But one was for the PS3.
On different platforms.
And I was like, I don't have anything new to play on this, so okay.
Yeah, and I hit them back and I was like, yeah, you sent me both an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation copy and I only wanted the Xbox one. And they're like, well, We didn't charge you for it, so just keep it. And I was like, okay.
Sweet. And then I was like, I'll play it. And then I got hooked, and I think that was the second game that I've completed. Like, I did everything.
Yeah, that one you were just trophy hunting like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I was a trophy whore. I was like, give me them trophies.
Yeah.
And I got them all, great, too. But I was hooked after Brotherhood, and then now I've got three, and I think I'm halfway through three now.
Nice.
Because I've been playing it. But it has not made me want to go back to one, because I don't think I'm ever going to go back to one.
I don't think I'm going to finish one. But, for me, I find it to be a great story, and I think that it's delivered so well throughout the game that it's a huge disservice.
But I'll say you're right too about the role that it being American history plays and makes you more invested too.
Yeah.
But the way they introduce that so seamless, or the way they intertwine it so seamlessly into the story that you're playing is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So I highly recommend it. I think that, again, if you're coming into a system, for the holiday, it is a great companion game, much like, Black Ops 2 for me, that, if it's Christmas Day and you're opening up an Xbox 360 and you didn't get a Kinect, you damn well better have either Black Ops 2 or Assassin's Creed, or somebody really doesn't love you.
Nah.
Just saying.
Well.
Just saying.
Or maybe that person loves you very much and doesn't have a job.
If they got you an Xbox and didn't get you a Kinect,
maybe they cashed in their 401k to get you that Xbox.
Well, then they should have gotten, just a little bit less on the Xbox. You could have got the arcade one and then taken the extra $50 and picked up just a standard edition of Black Ops 2 or Assassin's Creed. And don't give me that, because they're bundling Assassin's Creed with boxes. So I don't want to hear it.
All right, fine.
Show somebody that you love them. Don't just give them a halfie. Go all the way.
It's funny
because go home. Don't give them a halfie.
I get lost in the little parts of Assassin's Creed 3 sometimes, just because, sometimes I just play the board games.
Oh, I suck at that fucking board game.
I remember
every time I feel like I'm about to win, I make a move that I don't realize is about to screw me over, and then I lose. And then I get so upset, I almost rage quit because that's
too hard. I have to see you rage quit.
I almost did. I was like, motherfucker, that cost me $10. Shit.
Man, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Do you know how many fucking bears I gotta try and find?
Do you know how many burgers I could eat with $10? Three.
That's including the tax, right?
Yeah, including the tax.
Then that fool's voice is like, oh, I got you now.
Like, I know. It's just like my grandpa talking smack to me while we're playing checkers. I'm like, nuh-uh, old man.
Oh, not even. Dad with checkers. Esh dad with checkers.
Shit.
Man.
He talks shit all the time.
He would never say anything to me, but he'd look. Like, I'd have my hand on the PC. He'd be like, you really want to do that? I'm like, no.
I know. He was such an intimidator. He would talk shit to me. We'd be playing, and I'd be like, I got you now. He's like, okay, if that's the move you want to make.
I'm like, oh, no,
I'm confident. I'm good.
My hand's still on it. I haven't moved it.
I took two of your guys. He's like, okay, and you did get two of my guys, but I want you to watch what's about to happen here. Don't feel bad about it. And then he would proceed to dominate and eat, like, eight of my pieces and be like, it was a good game, but, you just weren't going to beat me.
You weren't
going to
win.
It's okay. And I was like, I love you, but I don't like you right now.
Because I made Dad play Pretty Pretty Princess with me.
Yes.
And I purposely let him win so he had to wear all those jewels.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
like, look at that crown, Daddy. You're a pretty, pretty princess.
I wish you had had an iPhone at that point.
I wish you had that technology then.
Because that photo would have been... So you gotta read up all the different stuff that we write on our respective websites. You can find it all at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Like our page, become a fan, follow the stuff that we put out there, because that's where we put it out first. All the written thoughts that we're having. That's where we put out is on EGMnow.com.
It's on EGMnow.com.
Pretty much.
Wow.
I can't believe that actually came
out.
You
just came out of your mouth. Not even my mouth. That came out of you.
Yeah, it's the truth though.
It's very informative. I was wondering where you guys do that.
EGMnow, that's where we put out.
Done.
The whole crew, by
He's
the
like,
way.
I'm already there.
It's like, I just like that page. I just like that page.
It's like, holla.
Just holla at us. Because that's... Yep, I did that.
Yes.
Okay. You can also get new episodes of our podcast on our home site, electricsisterhood.com. Or if you want to use our short address, it is...
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. Short address, sponsored a long one. Check out any articles written in the week. All questions and comments go to our Facebook page. Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And yeah, this podcast, we do it.
That's right. Every single week we put it out popping fresh on Mondays, unless we're taking a vacation
day. Like cheddar biscuits for your mouth.
Oh, cheddar biscuits.
On Mondays.
It's actually cheddar biscuits for your ears.
Cheddar biscuits for your ears on Monday.
Popping fresh.
That's what made it funny.
Just for you.
They're like cheddar biscuits for my mouth. It's like, isn't that where they're supposed to go?
Cheddar biscuits in your mouth.
Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Mm, God, I want some cheddar biscuits now. Damn it.
I know.
And a Big Mac with Gorgonzola. Ooh. Why do you do this to me, Panda?
Because I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too. So make sure that you get our podcast the moment that we put it out on the web. You can also get it in the iTunes podcast application on your iOS device or by searching the iTunes Music Store for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button. But if you're not with us on La Vida I or searching out the Microsoft Music Store for our podcast, you can
plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, look for our friends too, damn it.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh, although we are the loudest mouths in the group.
I know, I have a loud mouth.
Yes, Lord Jesus. So you want to make sure that you check out the other shows while our show goes out popping fresh on Monday. You can follow it up with the Testosterone Tour or Estrogen at BostonBassBrigade.com. That is helmed by our homeboy King Baby Duck, and they talk about all kinds of stuff. Similar to what we do, but also movies and theater and MMA and all that other stuff.
And all that man grunting stuff.
That guy thing. They do that. They do that really well. You can get your nerd need taken care of by our homeboy Deuces Wild over at geekagro.com, which is all about gadgetry and gizmos and just the fun nerdy stuff that makes up life.
And then don't forget our newest edition, the Issues Program.
Yes, finally
launched.
Kind of. Real. It's only taken me a year because I suck.
We seriously run on CP time here at the Land of Esh.
Mad CP time. Oh, man. But Issues Program.
You got an issue, so do they.
So do they over there. Held by the Issues guy himself. New stuff is coming. We just launched the site. Really happy to have Phil on board. Issues is really an enjoyable stuff. You can check out all the things that they've put up on Ustream. You can hit them up on We've All Got Issues, which is their group page on Facebook, to kind of get a flavor. But there's new stuff to come. There'll be episodes up shortly after the new year of his show. And it's really just freaking hippie fun, man. You got to check it out. We love him. So glad to have him as part of the family. New shows will be going out typically on Thursday there. So definitely want to make sure that you're checking out Issues Program. We'll put a link in the show notes for you for sure. We're all over Twitter and Facebook, keeping up with all the news that we put out. You want to follow at ESH News. You want to check out everyone who makes out the Land of Esh, including all the individual great voices that are just cool things to have in your Twitter feed. Hit up my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. I guarantee you, you follow those people, you will have a laugh riot in your Twitter feed every day.
You'll probably pee your pants.
You will definitely not pee your pants, but you might feel like
you'll get really close to peeing your pants.
You'll have that laugh where you're like, did I just pee?
Let's just put it on the line. Like, if you're into pants peeing, you will pee your pants.
Yes,
but if you're not
yes,
into pants peeing, you'll come close but not quite.
Like, what he said.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It depends on if you want to let go or not.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you really want to let go,
look at that list.
Follow the list. You will go. Laugh your ass off. And pee your pants.
And go.
You'll have an excuse.
You might poop a little.
You might.
Maybe, but
possibly.
Just don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone. Just walk out really slowly. Make sure you have exit pants.
It might actually be totally unrelated to the Esh Twitter stream.
And if that's the case, I'm really sorry.
Hey, we might keep you regular, and that is good.
I would hope that you would consult a physician.
With a Metamucil on Twitter.
Yeah. That is not a tagline I want to be associated with. It might be true, but I don't want to know it. I don't want to know it.
Well, it's only here on our podcast for our listeners.
Correct. And you can catch Mayor Young on Fantastic Forum.
Woot. Yeah, on Fantastic Forum, basically every, well, just about every Monday, 8:30 p.m. Pacific.
Man, that's so late over here.
11:30, yeah, that's 11:30 p.m. Eastern. But you can catch us live then, in case you know you want to tell us what you think, tell us what you're reading, tell us that we're a bunch of idiots. We'll take all those calls. So, you know, feel free to do that. But, of course, you can always catch us. We put the archives up as in podcast form, so you can catch those as well. And, yeah, you can also catch Gekken, and that's going to be every Friday. You can catch a new episode of Gekken over at geeknation.com. So, you know, if you want to hear about all types of different geek culture type of topics, you can check out Gekken. And if you want to do comics specifically, you can go to allgames.com and mess with Fantastic Forum.
Man, he's like at the beginning and the end of the week. He's like a mayor sandwich.
It's a mayor sandwich.
Look, we can only hope.
Yeah. Oh, there you have it. As always, I am Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
And thank you, Mayor Young, for joining us.
Thank you guys so much for having me on the show. I really do appreciate you both. This has been so fun. We got to do it again.
Absolutely. Same time next year.
Happy holidays!
Buy me something good.
Oh man, presents.